All right, when you hear Ozzy singing Iron Man,
all right,
we go to the toughest dude in town. That is our guy, Mr. Neil Greenberg.
Oh, boy.
From the Washington Post. Neil Greenberg is a sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Post. You can follow him at @NGreenberg. Hello, Greenberg. How do you do, buddy?
I am doing super. How are you?
I'm dealing
with poison ivy.
Oh, bro, it's been cold and rainy. How the hell do you have poison ivy?
Because as a city folk, I'm trying to expose my boys to the elements, and I'm in a neighborhood nature group, and we went on a nature walk last week, and then my wagon for my little one went in a ditch, and when I got it out of the ditch, I got poison ivy. So TLDR, I'm never going out in nature again.
So I'm asking a question.
I don't think you're built for
when
nature.
When you look
Greenberg.
At the stuff, you don't know it, you didn't know it was poison ivy, Neil?
That's no, right. I'm worried
you're
about
city,
my little two-year-old running, going, da-da-no, away from me while my wagon goes in a ditch, so I have to grab the wagon and then grab my kid because he likes to run around this tree and try to keep away from me because he doesn't want to go in the wagon. So there you go.
Well, good luck, dude. Use the, what is it?
It's an app. That
chlorophyll? Calamine?
It's an app on your phone. You can just put it by the plant, like away from it, and zoom in, and it'll tell you exactly what it is.
Are you not reading the panic on my
voice when my wagon
was in a ditch and my two-year-old is running around some
Was
path?
He in the wagon?
No.
No, he wasn't.
He was running away from it.
He was
therefore,
protesting.
Maybe you didn't need to panic so
yeah,
much.
Go get the kid.
He
sounds
way,
like a,
he
sounds like a neuroses, like a neurotic reaction to a wagon in the woods.
Well, I'm never going again. If there's an achievement, you're not going to see me.
All right, well, good luck with the poison ivy. Another thing I've noticed, besides the poison ivy, is I can't tell what direction we're headed here. But I can tell that you have some serious opinions on the Commanders' offense, on the Commanders being 3-1, and what kind of team this is. I will turn it over to you, sir. Let the people know.
So the team offensively is very good, perhaps way better than anybody thought was possible. I've been optimistic about the team as a whole on this show. I thought that there was a chance that, you know, everything could go right in the beginning with the offense, and it certainly has. I wasn't expecting it to be like historically great efficiency starting, but this is where we're at, and you know, it's doing great. The offense is doing great. The defense is doing just as poorly in the opposite direction. When you look at like the advanced metrics, everything says offense superbly off the charts, defense like superbly off the charts in a very bad way.
Wow.
And then when you look at like the makeup of that team historically, they are not a playoff team, which to me is weird because we're looking at you know, a team that is contending for the division. My own personal power rankings, which are now live on WashingtonPost.com, have them winning 10 games this year with a 63% chance to make the playoffs. Because they're already 3-1, and you can't take those wins away from them, and they haven't really played in their division games yet. Mm-hmm. So it's just really, it's a weird situation. If they can run out the clock here without the defense really dragging them under, that's great. What's more likely to happen is the offense is going to come down a bit because I don't think we were expecting the defense to be very good. Maybe we weren't expecting worse in the league, but maybe that gets a little bit better. But I think the offense has a lot of room to get a lot worse. So I'm really curious to see like where we finally shake out here.
So help me understand this. You aren't surprised by the offensive success, but the defense is worse
than you think? No, I'm not surprised. We talked about it on the show. I mean, there's a lot of smart people in the organization, and you know, they ended up putting Jay and Daniels in a great position. I actually just retweeted a chart that I copied you on that shows that they're like like their mix of run plays is confusing to the opposing defenses. Like they're not a predictable run offense, which I think is also very good, and that also speaks to Jaden Daniels, even though it excludes his scrambles. But I think that the offense is doing a lot of the right things right. And it's looking very good. I mean, that's obvious, right? Like, that's obvious to anyone that's tuned into the game.
I think when they run from the T position so much, and they switch them from one side to the other, and a lot of times it looks like it's going to be a pass play, and then they go completely opposite of it. Other times they pull the ball and come out with two receivers that are dragging across. It confuses the hell out of the defense.
And that's what you have to do in the modern NFL, right? Like the defenses have become so sophisticated that if you can trick them even a little bit, you gain a pretty massive edge, like we're seeing. But it's can this defense playing poorly keep this going in the right direction? And that's really the question. And I don't have an answer. I know historically what it says, but it's only been like a handful of teams since 2002 when they expanded to 32 teams. So it's quite possible that, you know, with 17 games and expanded playoffs, like, the Washington Commanders are a playoff team. And then once you get in, who knows what happens. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting situation because they're very good offensively, very bad defensively, and it's really tough to say, like, how good or not good they're going to be for the rest of the season.
So how significant is the test this weekend with Cleveland?
I think it's pretty significant. I mean, you want to win the games. You need to win the games that you're supposed to win. And I think that's key to football, obviously. But the Commanders are 3-point favorites over Cleveland. You know, they're obviously being given a very good chance to win. You know, I think now it becomes really, you know, management mode isn't the right word, but don't do anything silly, right? Like, keep everybody healthy and don't do anything silly, right? Like, don't lose to the Browns or the Panthers. You know, make sure you win against the Giants that aren't playing very well. You know, like, these are the key steps along the way that you're going to have to be careful of, because after Cleveland, it's Baltimore, which I think is a very good football team. Mm-hmm. You know, Pittsburgh is on their docket in the middle of the season. They've been playing well. Obviously, two games against Philadelphia, who hasn't looked good but probably are better. And then you have the tough games against Dallas. So there's not a room for losing the games that you're supposed to win.
Specifically, where do you think the defensive struggles are? I mean, the defense looked good last week. Did that sway you at all? Did that impact you?
I'm just looking at, like, the efficiency. Like, they're giving up more points than you would expect. And that's tough. I mean, we talked about, like, you know, their tackling isn't always the greatest. I think the coverage has been a little bit, you know, wonky at times. And I think that's why they're giving up, you know, they're giving up the points that they are, because teams are able to take advantage of the coverage at key times. You know, I don't think they particularly grade well in anything, like, you know, run defense, tackling, pass rush, coverage. Like, Pro Football Focus doesn't give them high marks for that. The old Football Outsiders, now something else, their defense, the DVOA doesn't give them a lot of credit for that. So, like, subjective and objective rankings are telling us that the defense isn't good. But, you know, we're seeing the value of having an above-average quarterback. And right now, you know, their rookie is playing above average. And that can carry a lot of freight. And it might be able to carry this defense. I mean, if you can put up 25, 30 points in a game, you have a very good chance of winning, even if you give up 20 points a game. So, you know, we're just going to have to see. But, you know, the offense really is the key here, as is health. And they just have to, as I said, just not do anything silly. Like, we should only be talking about the good stuff, not the games that they should have won. And I think that they're definitely going to be one of the most surprising teams of 2024.
When you look at, like, last game, Kyler Murray passed for, like, 115 yards, but they gave up almost 200-yard rushing. How do you really look at that? Do they say, oh, he got 115 because he wasn't throwing it, or, you know, because the defense was stopping it, or because they ran it so well they didn't have to throw it?
Yeah, I mean, he only had, what, 22 – he only had 22 throws. They were, which is a little surprising, because they were playing – Arizona was playing from behind a lot. Yeah. So you'd expect them to chuck the ball. They really did commit to the running game. They must have saw something that they thought, okay, you know what? we can run on this team. I mean, Connor's going to run, and that's what's ultimately going to make things happen. But I was surprised. I was surprised that Arizona played as poorly as they did. But, you know, you got to give credit to Washington. I mean, they are making the most out of their drives. I mean, they are just a juggernaut when they're going down the field. Like, touchdown, touchdown. Okay, he had an interception, they had a punt. But then they scored on the next five, three of them touchdowns. I mean, that's going to be hard to beat no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Dude, the way their offense moves the football, the efficiency numbers, whatever you want to look at, EPA, just old-fashioned stats like scoring possessions, it's been
unbelievable. It's the story of the year, I think.
Totally. I mean, at least early on here, it is absolutely the story of the year. And it's backed up by Michael Vick coming to town to interview Jaden Daniels. It's backed up by Jaden Daniels being the highest-selling jersey on Fanatics. What do you make of Jaden Daniels?
I think he's doing great. It seems like he is in the right spot in terms of fit. You know, he doesn't have like an all-star caliber, supporting cast around him, but you know, he is doing what he is supposed to do. He's not making these, you know, bonehead mistakes that we see some rookie quarterbacks make. He's taking very good care of the football. He's very decisive on the field, and he's a threat to run. And that's the most terrifying thing for an NFL defense, I think. If you can have, you know, a quarterback that's efficient throwing the ball, and, oh, by the way, he can rip off one for 10 or 15 mm-hmm. yards, like, that is very, very difficult to deal with. And, you know, props to everybody in the organization. I mean, he's looked every bit the part, and the fact that you even have people saying now that he should have gone number one, I think tells you everything that you need to know about the organization, both from an X's and O's standpoint, but also from a player evaluation standpoint, which is not something you could have said before Harris bought the team.
So let me ask you this, because B-Mitch and I have kicked this around. And I'm not saying you, because you don't kind of – what's interesting to me about a lot of analytics people is a conventional wisdom emerges and, like, the analytics community just follows that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You were not necessarily one of the guys that wasn't sure about Jaden coming out. I think I remember you were into Jaden coming out. There were a lot of people questioning Cliff's offense. And again, we're only four games in, so you don't want to start drawing definitive conclusions. But damn, it looks like the Drake May is the better prospect. And who knows what this looks like 10 years from now or something. Yeah. But Jaden looks fantastic right away. And Cliff's offense, this looks like a heck of a marriage.
Yeah, I mean, they get – I've said this before. Like, the new ownership and everyone in place deserve the benefit of the doubt because they've been successful elsewhere. Well, now, you know, the offense deserves the benefit of the doubt. Like, this offense is working. Now, does that mean that NFL defenses will adapt to it and may be able to stop it? Sure, that could absolutely happen. But, you know, you also have to at least believe that you know, the offensive staff and everybody, like, they know that, right? I'm not breaking new ground here, so they're going to adapt too. And I think they've shown they can be successful, so I think that we have to believe they will be successful until they aren't for a significant period of time. Mm-hmm. I think we have to, like, really see that defenses have figured out how to stop this offense. And it's not something, like, it's not self-inflicted wounds like, you know, fumbles or interceptions or something like that. So, yeah, they deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I think there's no reason to believe that this is going to stop anytime soon, because it's not necessarily like smoke and mirrors, right? Like, we're seeing Jaden Daniels make good decisions on the field. The subjective grading from Pro Football Focus, meaning what they see, is very high. The objective rating from ESPN's Total QBR, based solely on the stats, is very high. So I think everyone's in agreement that they're doing the right things the right way, and it's generating the right results. So until we see this train go off the rails, my only concern at this point is the defense.
I think when you look at this offense, the way that they're running it, and they end up in so many situations where Jaden is on the edge, he has two receivers and another one coming over the top, and they have two defensive backs. They seem to have an advantage most times because, like you said earlier, they don't know when they're running the ball. I think this is going to be tough to just go out there and figure out because you got to take more chances on a defense, which opens up even a bigger plays.
Right, that's the other thing too, right? Like if you bite on a coverage or like a route of a receiver or something, like you have to have every bit of confidence that Jaden can make that throw. And it doesn't necessarily matter who the receiver is because a wide open receiver should be able to catch a well-thrown football. So I think, like you said, I mean, you know, there's so many decision points that you need to make as an NFL defense with a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, and it happens so fast that the mistakes, I think, are easier to commit on defense than they are on offense. Now, he's going to throw interceptions. We're going to talk about plays like, you know, Jaden, like, what were you thinking there? Like, you know, we're going to see that stuff because all quarterbacks do that. But, you know, he does seem to have the presence of mind to know when to throw the ball, when to run the ball, and he stays out of trouble. And I think that, you know, for year one, this early, to have that part of it look like it might be settled, I think is great.
You know, another thing, everybody was so concerned about him running the football, but lately he doesn't take many hits. He slid, he runs out of bounds, and then he has that little ability to not take a direct hit. What are the analysts about getting hurt?
Shoulder roll.
Yeah, he just rolled it and don't take the hit directly.
Yeah, he's shown that he's a gifted runner, and I know a lot was made about, you know, he should slide and stuff, but, you know, again, you have to believe in the player's ability. Like, if you draft a dual-threat quarterback and then tell him not to run, like, that is silly, right? Like, you can't say to a quarterback, don't get hurt, because that's silly also. Like, you know, let him do his thing on the football field. Trust that he knows that he shouldn't get, you know, absolutely blasted by a linebacker coming at him at full speed. And, you know, just believe in the kid. And I think that he's shown, like you said, like, you know, he knows how to take an NFL hit. You know, maybe we didn't know that at first, but we seem to know that now. And now, like I said, I mean, you know, you just got to believe that he's going to do it. You know, he can get hurt on a non-contact play. He can get hurt getting hit. He can get hurt in the locker room.
In the pocket.
People get hurt. So just let him do what he's doing. It ain't broke. Let's not try to fix anything right away.
Yeah, like if you date a girl and she's flirty and then you get married, she's still going to be flirty. Like people don't change. And with him, it's such a skill set that – why on earth would you want to limit it? Greenberg, we got to go a little faster here. So you said you got your power ranks coming out. Where do you have Washington?
I have them overall. I have them as an above average team. They started out below average just because of the way the market was perceiving them. But now as we've kind of moved along here, I have them at 16th. Which is a huge move. I think they're a half a point better per game than an average team. I think you'll see other ratings that aren't like just a regurgitation of the standings kind of in the same ballpark. They would be higher if their like preseason power rating wasn't so low. But I do have them – I have them on par with the Houston Texans. And if you would have said that in the preseason, I think everyone would have thought you were nuts. But, wow. You know, I have them as an above-average team, which is significant in terms of these ratings. And I think that there's, you know, obviously the more that they do, the less the weighting of the preseason and it becomes a factor. You know, I think that they can maybe tick up a little bit higher, maybe even reach the top 10.
Greenberg, we got to plug him in.
Appreciate you.
Give me a quick, they shouldn't trade for Davante Adams, yes or no?
No, because this thing is working. You shouldn't do anything. Just see how far it can go and then figure it out from there.
Perfect. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time. That is Neil Greenberg. Coming up at 12:45, we're giving away Thomas Rhett tickets. Shout out to Crumble Cookies. Woo!
They good, bro.
Damn.
I don't know how they keep every type moist like that.
Be out here talking about moist.
Hey.
It's very moist in the atmosphere. It's been raining.
It's cookies, man. It's cookies.
Humidity. Speaking of moisture, at 12:45, we are giving away Thomas Rhett tickets. That was for you, Landfill. We'll play some Thomas Rhett later in the program. I like that 16 song. There are other songs that Landfill likes. Christmas in the Country, I think, is one of Landfill's favorite hits.
Christmas in the Country?
Yeah, man. Mm. Speaking of favorites, we have some audio, Brian, for you to hear about Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Landini, I'll let you rock it here, and we'll see if Brian can guess who's talking. And wasn't that a movie? Look Who's Talking was the movie. This is going to be interesting because at this point, I don't think there's really anybody can – there's nothing negative to say about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But this is a person of some relevance – speaking about Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Well, you know, really, the teams have done a great job in designing things around them.
Okay.
If you watch the things that they do, and one of the things that has really been really impressive has been what the Commanders have done with Jaden. And you've pointed a lot of those things out, but a couple things that are up there. Time to throw. Mm. He gets the ball out of his hands quicker than anybody else in the league. 2.52 seconds, the league average 2.77.
Wow.
That means a lot of those things are designed for him to make a quick decision, get the ball out, and he's been very successful because you pointed out his percentage completion. I mean, that's crazy.
Those numbers are insane.
What was it again? Say it again.
2.52 seconds.
And the rest of the league is 2.7, and he's a rookie. He's getting it
out
2/10 of a second.
That's
absolutely
crazy.
Making great decisions. The next thing that they've done also is play action pass. Again, you look at what his play action pass completion rate is, and it is, again, through the roof because the big thing that's happened is it's 29.8. Okay, that is very good. Again, you're asking a quarterback in college who really didn't turn his back to the offense to now have to not only turn his back, but turn around, focus, find your receiver, and get the ball out. He's done such a great job with that. So, again, his numbers are exactly what they are because the team, the coaching staff, Cliff Kingsbury and the offensive coaches have put together plans that allow him to make quick decisions, get the ball out of his hands, and allow his players to make plays for him.
All right, let me just go with this. And I'm not going to much go into that. That was Ron. I know who that was. But the ultimate thing is this. They have designed a great scheme for him. But the coaches are not making the decisions. Okay, I've seen screens made. That kid deserves a lot of credit as well. Cliff deserves tons of credit. But the fact that he can make those decisions that quick tells the story. Because if he wasn't capable of making those reads and things, we saw the other night when the kid Huntley went to the game. That's the same offense, right, that Tua ran. But he don't run it as effectively and as efficient. Coaches give coaches credit. I'm giving the coach and the player credit. You get what I'm saying? They built something because of what he's capable of. What did Cliff say? When once Jaden and I sit down together and we know what he likes, we can start building stuff for him. Said that earlier this year. And those two guys are doing that together, have a mutual respect for each other. I'm not going to say the scheme is making it happen. Scheme don't make decisions to get rid of the ball that quick. He's letting that damn ball go that quick. And what does that do also? It helps your offensive line. If they know they're off the block for 4 or 5 seconds, hell, they can be damn good. They can be more aggressive instead of being more passive. And that helps the whole team out.
I think there is so much a lot of the coaches deserve credit. The O-line deserves a ton of credit.
Yeah.
But I think Jaden there's so much to credit all around, right? They're spreading the ball around. I think they're running the hell out of the football. I think the play calling is good. I think the O-line has been really good. I think Badass has solidified the center of that O-line.
Badass.
There's so much to like, but all roads lead back to Jaden.
Remember I would tell you what I loved about Tom Brady. A lot of people don't like Tom. I guess he was too good. People hate success. Tom came to the line, and you saw him scan the field. When the ball was snapped, Tom basically looked away and then delivered it the next play. He knew based off of coverage, where the linebackers were, where he was throwing the ball before the ball was snapped. And now all he has to do is just set up. Because I got to hold this middle linebacker. I'll set here, and I throw it right behind his ear. Jaden does a lot of that, too, at a young age. So, yes, Adam and Dan looked at him. They drafted him. Cliff comes in and say, "Okay, let's find out what he can do." And then he builds something for him. and the player is still so astute and so good at going out and studying the defense, he has an idea where the hell he's going. You know, when he gets on the edge, the fact that he can run, as Neil Greenberg stated earlier, that makes people nervous as hell. Do I attack him and leave the receiver wide open because he's going to deliver it? Or do I stay back and hope I can slow play it? Well, if I slow play, he gets 5 yards. Now it's second down and five. You can't make the right decision. So this thing moving forward is a combination of they got the right guy who likes to go in and study, and he is doing what he's supposed to do as a professional football player. All your time should go to that, not the streets, not the video games, not just getting all the accolades coming. No, you should be working at your craft. When you retire, you can get all that stuff you want. But the coaches are understanding, like, what he can do well. They knew what he could do so well that when he did something, preseason game, passed to Deami. Oh, man, we didn't want him to why? Because I don't want the whole league to know that this dude is already that damn good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you they go to sleep resting well because they got a guy who's not concerned about all the BS that comes with this damn sport. You know what I'm saying? He's concerned about making sure he will be better. And a lot of that goes back to him, his dad teaching him a lot of stuff about the fundamentals and what you got to put into it as well. So
something interesting that just crossed my radar is this dude, Tom Bliss, is a data scientist that messes with the NFL. And he has this luck probability chart. And the Commanders rank at the top of positive impact, right? But none of it is particularly pertinent. The only thing I could really think of, they have dropped pass by an opponent where they're
– Who's that?
The Commanders. I know Malik Nabers dropped that pass on fourth down when they mm-hmm. were driving. If they have a kicker, that's probably a very different game. Their opponent's field goals – I guess McPherson missed one in that Bengals game.
Okay.
He doesn't miss many.
That's not our fault.
And then fumble recoveries. They have been relatively fortuitous in the fumble recovery stuff. And not saying it's their fault, but just that so far through four games, the Commanders rank at the top of the list in kind of good breaks, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know, when you I get, don't really
you know what gives
think
you breaks?
Of it that way. Yeah.
I think people say luck and all that type of stuff. If you are hustling to the football, if you're going aggressively the whole play, you normally get good luck. Luck don't just drop out the damn sky. Luck is made during the week at practice.
Agreed. Now, it's time to figure out who's cooked across the NFL. We're running out of teams with no wins. There are still a couple, one of them, but that doesn't mean there aren't more teams that are finished. Nobody go anywhere. We are going to talk to Power Rankings at noon. Dan Quinn should be talking around 12:30. We're going to do a little college football at 1 o'clock. All right, Brian. I like this segment. We go around the NFL and just decide who stinks.
All right, let's do it.
At 0-4, and Doug Peterson just had to answer a reporter's question if he had lost the locker room. He says he hasn't, by the way. Are the Jaguars cooked? 0-4.
Yeah, they are being marinated right now. And they're about to go on the grill.
Yeah, they're split and fried. Cardinals, 1-3, just got drilled at home by Washington.
I think I watched Kyler Murray a little bit, and I'm kind of looking at Jaden as well, and I watched his persona, his demeanor as he goes through a game. I watched him after the game. Nothing seems to be his fault. Their defense cannot stop the run. They talked about how great their secondary was. Hey, I don't think so. I still think that they have enough offensively where they're going to be able to mess with people. So I'm not going to say they completely cooked, but they have a guy who's leading them that does not take blame for stuff, and that may end up being a problem.
Yeah. They seemed –
for the game, because I think they were looking at Washington based off of what Washington was.
Yeah.
But when they got on the football field, you ever notice that they say bullies are great until somebody hit them back? And then they're not used to being hit back, so they don't know how to respond to it. When they got hit in the face, they didn't know what to do. And then they found out that they didn't really have the dog in them as they thought they did. You know, they had a little toy poodle in them. They didn't have the big poodle. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they got to figure out a way to learn how to be that big dog when things are going rough. When things got rough for them, they kind of just drifted off.
Agreed. The Rams at 1-3. Cooked?
You know, I'm.
They got a lot of injuries.
Love Sean. But
this time last year, they started way down and dug themselves out, and then were able to win a playoff game.
When they've been,
no, I guess they lost.
When they've been great, their defense has been outstanding.
Yeah,
that dude number 99 not playing no more.
He gone.
He's gone. They have a lot of injuries on offense. The quarterback got all that love, but was he really the reason that they won the thing, or was that defense being so damn good the reason that they won it?
They were 6-7 after an overtime loss to the Ravens last year in early December, rattled off four straight wins to get in, and then lost to the Lions in the playoffs by a hair. What was?
Are they gonna get them all back? They gonna get all their injured people back?
I think they get Kupp and Nacua back, but
how soon before Kupp and Nacua are on
hurt
out there again?
Yeah, I don't know.
They seem to get nicked. Kupp seem to get nicked a lot now.
I won't call the Rams cooked though. The Cardinals are far closer to cooked than the Rams. For me.
Okay. Yeah, because you got a you know a little thing for Sean, so you can't ever say nothing negative about him.
I think
Sean is a good coach. I'm not saying he's great.
Okay. Been to two Super Bowls.
Cool.
Now
he went to two. He went to one with a quarterback that nobody gives no credit, and then went another with a defense that was outstanding, but they give all the credit to the quarterback and the coach.
Carolina Panthers 1-3. They were awful with Bryce Young. They appear to have something going with Andy Dalton, but, like, how far does the Andy Dalton train take you? Cooked meter on the Panthers.
I think they're still the fourth best team in their division.
Yeah, or the worst.
That's four. They have
you
four
call now. Them fourth best, you can say they're the worst team.
Well, I'm
in their
trying
division.
To be nice, JP. I mean, I got a reputation to uphold. You tell everybody how nice I am.
You're
so,
a teddy bear.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers are cooked.
Yeah.
The New York Football Giants, 1-3.
They're 1-3.
0-3 in the NFC.
They're done.
Done?
Based off of what we're calling cooked and stuff, yes, yes. I just don't think there's enough up there. I think that all of a sudden the things outside of the game is going to become the problem.
Landfill, are the Giants cooked?
Yes, they suck.
Is Jeff there, or is Jeff cooked?
I am not cooked. I am here.
Are the Giants cooked?
Of course.
I tend to agree. Who do the Giants have this weekend?
Yeah.
That Giants team, they got the Seahawks in Seattle. They get to 1-4. I understand these reports keep coming out of New York that they don't want to have to blow things up again. You're obviously blowing up the quarterback already.
Well, the person that might not want to blow it up is the person that's not going to be there very long if Saquon keep running all the yards he running.
Landfill, are you aware that the Patriots are considering benching Ramondre Stevenson because he fumbles too much and turning things over to Antonio Gibson? Landfill, I ask you, are the Patriots cooked?
I mean, yeah, if you're turning it to Gibson with hopes that he won't fumble all the time, you're cooked.
I couldn't help but read that and just, like, give him the meme. It's okay. I hope I hope he holds on to the ball. Brian, Pat's cooked, 1-3?
Yeah. They won their first game, and then they haven't been really in the rest of them. But this is really a learning and building season for them anyway.
Sure, rebuilding year.
I don't expect them to be good. I didn't expect them to be good. So,
what about the Dolphins? 1-3.
If they don't get Tua back, they
what's
got
up
problems.
With Tua. I mean, they put him on IR, so the earliest you're getting him back, I think.
Well, 4 weeks.
That's at the earliest.
But I'm saying, so if he – I think they – listen, they did exactly what they're supposed to do because public sentiment, if they were to come out and he was playing within 1 to 2 weeks, they are going to get destroyed. So you put him on IR 4 weeks, bring him back, then he go play. You watch him on the sidelines running around doing stuff. Tua wants to be on the field now.
Here's a question, and I don't know this answer. So he got hurt the night of Bills Dolphins, the Thursday nighter down in Miami, where they were getting their ass kicked before Tua got hurt. They then will play. They've already lost to the Seahawks. They've already lost to the Titans, which is about as bad as it gets. They play the Patriots this weekend. Then they have a bye. Is it 4 weeks minimum or 4 games minimum?
Weeks.
So if that's the case, he could be back.
Come back
the Colts
after the bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. And they probably did it knowing that. Think about it.
Well, once he got the injury. But, yeah.
I mean, once he got the injury and they look at it, oh, we bring him back and we got 3 games and we got a bye week. Then, boom, we bring him back after the bye.
Right.
Oh, everything worked out. They don't have to worry about getting all the negativity from the public.
So premature then to say the Dolphins are cooked?
I think so.
Okay, two more that I think these are the hardest cook rankings that exist. Browns, 1-3 coming to Washington.
I can't see them.
They got weird injuries. They got guys coming back from
injuries. They got all kind of things going on. And listen, I was trying to pull for Deshaun, but it seemed like it's not coming.
He seems cooked.
It seemed like it's not coming. And I just don't think if he doesn't get right this year, that they're going to have some backup that's going to be able to just carry him along the way.
Cincinnati Bengals, cooked? 1-3?
I'm going to have to say they're not cooked. I'm still going to say they have enough. And I watch Jamar Chase with a catch, break a tackle, and go the distance the other day. That dude's a bad man.
He's a bad man.